B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
A little bit of Camila. Jeriel. Euculus. Tito Francona. Sandy. Kelly Pedroia. Jessica. My girlfriend Angelica.
Alex Cora is still employed as Red Sox manager as of now. Shaughnessy with two sources close to the situation who seem to indicate they're going to ride it out with Alex Cora for now instead of firing him after a 9-page report dropped yesterday from the commissioner of baseball about Alex Cora, who's mentioned 11 times in this. It's all about the Astros in 2017. But he is mentioned in this story 11 times. And all of the blame is being placed on Cora by everybody involved, by the players, by the manager, by Lunau, who's now been fired, the general manager. Even in his statement, he puts it on the bench coach. That's what he says in his statement yesterday. Everyone is throwing Alex Cora under the bus pretty damn hard in this. It might be deserved. And he clearly is the target of baseball in this report. Now, the commissioner writes that he is withholding punishment on Cora pending the outcome of the investigation into the Red Sox. But my guess is they're going to start at a year. A.J. Hinch got a year. Jeff Lunau got a year. And neither one of those guys were central to the scheme. Lunau didn't even know. A.J. Hinch was aware of it but didn't participate. Cora was the guy who came up with it, implemented it, and actively participated in it. He's going to be gone for at least a year.
Yeah.
Plus
yeah,
the time he will spend
the
off.
Message.
Right. Plus the time he gets for what the Red Sox did in 2018, which was not to the degree that the Astros were doing it in 2017, but it's under the same department. It's under the same rules.
Yeah, and it seems like it's going to be taken out of the Red Sox hands. I mean, I like the fact that they like their guy, and they seems like they're going to stand by their guy based on what Dan Shaughnessy was telling us, even though Dan thinks he should be fired immediately. Then it's about the timeline, like the length of time. I mean, if it's 50 games, that's different. But if you're talking 2 years, even a year, I mean, that's a long time. That's a long time for him to be away from this team. And then to think he's going to have a handle on it when he comes back as far as pressing that reset button. Then you're missing all these players. I think the window's tight right now. And now you're getting Heim Bloom to get off to start with a manager or without a manager. He doesn't even know that yet. Or does he get to pick his guy? Give the guy a clean slate. You know?
Well, the other part is if the Red Sox are hit hard on the draft pick front, you just hired a guy to draft and develop for the future of this team. This could be extremely damaging to the future of the team. This could be a very bad outcome for the, you know, what the Red Sox sort of need to get back to doing, which is restocking their farm system and developing young talent, especially young pitching. I think there's a real desperate need for that, organizationally speaking, and they're going to be hamstrung now by potential penalties that are coming down. The Astros yesterday got a first-round pick and second-round pick in each of the next 2 years. That's four picks taken away. The picks disappear. They will just skip over the Astros and go to the next team. The Red Sox are a repeat offender. Their franchise was already tagged in 2017 for their usage of the Apple Watches in the dugout to do exactly what they were doing in 2018. It's really the same activity. Picking up on sequences and trying to figure it out. They were doing this in 2017. That was why baseball acted and baseball made it clear both publicly and in a memo to every single team. If you are to do this again, GMs will be punished. Managers will be punished regardless of sort of their involvement with it. You are the people that are charged with overseeing the baseball operation of your team. If it happens with your team, you will be punished severely. The Red Sox were the team, as well as the Yankees at the time, but the Red Sox were really the main reason why that was said and why the commissioner felt the need to do that. And now that same team, albeit with a different manager, but that same team is involved in something again. Forget Alex Cora's punishment for a moment. What's the team going to get? for employing a second manager who, it appears, is far worse than the manager who oversaw the first level of signal stealing and use of technology, that the same team is getting bagged again. Forget it being one of the
other
clubs.
It's almost like two separate issues.
It's the same team again.
It's all, you only have the basis of Houston to hear for Cora. Now you get Farrell and the Apple watch and other people.
I mean,
forget about that.
That's
a factor. People think it's strictly Cora.
That's a factor as far as the draft picks goes. The $5 million fine is the max fine. There's no doubt in my mind they will get that same max fine. And there's no doubt in my mind that at a minimum they will get the same draft pick penalty that the Astros got. But how could you honestly say that the two teams deserve the same penalty, regardless of was the Astros situation worse versus 2017 and 2018. Forget that. Just the fact that a second act occurred with the original club that caused all of this with the commissioner to begin with.
Well,
how could you say that the penalties franchise-wise, not for the individuals, deserves to be the same?
Because you just said it. Because what the Astros did had a more direct effect on the outcome of the game if Major League Baseball decides that was the case. And they're probably not supposed to factor this in, but tell me how you don't. When you're sitting around the conference table trying to figure out what the punishments are going to be, if you're going to say, look, we already let's say Cora is going to be gone double the time, right? We already took the manager away for 2 years, right? I mean, we absolutely forced them to rehire the guy and probably his staff and everything else. Are we really going to double down now and give more to the team? Why don't we just give them the same thing the team got? But if we want to penalize the manager more, then we'll do that. And even though there's supposed to be two separate things, right, you look at the totality of the punishment. Given to the organization, individuals and team combined, maybe they ease up on the team aspect of it. Because, A, like you said, Beetle, what the Astros did, Major League Baseball might find out to be more egregious. And B, they might come down harder on Cora, which might give them a little bit of wiggle room to ease off a bit on the team.
617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls coming up right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
617-779-0985. That's a phone number for you. Been talking for much of the day about the Red Sox and the Astros and the central link and central figure, that is, Alex Cora, to all of this. Let's go to your phones. Mark in Medford, what'd you make of all this yesterday, Mark?
What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's up, Beetle? What's up, Zoe?
Marty's here.
I got two questions for you on this. The first question is, do you think that neither ownership, the Astros or the Red Sox, had any clue of to what was going on? And my second question is, although he's not with the organization anymore, shouldn't Dave Dombrowski receive just the harshest punishment as the GM of the Astros did?
Ownership, no. Dead. Ownership, no. I mean, I think ownership is detached to a certain extent, right? Especially in that sport, where he'll go over to Europe and he'll deal with the soccer team or... You know, you got Warner there. They're shaking hands. You know, they got Dombrowski, they got Tony La Russa, they got Cora doing all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
They managed. I don't think
you can make a case for a GM.
Who are those fireworks for? Right, Hardy? Oh, look at those fireworks.
Is there a fire?
Is there a fire? Or I want to start a cheer. Like they're detached to a certain extent. They show up, they shake hands, they make money. They're not in the day to day operation of it. I would like to think most aren't. Unless you're David Tepper and you're like excited about your involvement, what that's going to be. Or if you're the Cleveland Browns and you're going to meet with them, then that's different. Hey, we're going to hold coaches meetings every Friday and Monday. You're going to meet with the owner. Yeah. No, I don't think baseball owners are involved in this. I don't.
Matt is in Boston. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. I don't mean to change the subject, but I just wanted to ask you a question on the Patriots draft. I know they haven't, picked this far down in a while, but I think if everything plans out right, they might be able to get, Jordan Love, or maybe Herbert could fall, or even Jake.
I don't care about any of that today.
I am so not ready for draft talk.
Yeah, no, do that another day.
And football guy. We've
got a full board of people that have been trying to get in on the Red Sox stuff. Bill's in the car. Bill.
Herbert's going to fall? Herbert?
Hey, thanks very much for taking the call.
Hey.
My question is innocent until proven guilty. So understanding that he is obviously the person that started the signal calling. However, do we have any proof that a game was lost because of the signal calling? Like, we see the bats, we heard the horn.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
No,
it's in the report.
I understand that. But my point is, if it did cost the game, if it cost one game for the Dodgers, then they should be vacated the World Series and given to the Dodgers.
Well, I mean, look at the results. Look at those home games in Houston. In the 2017 World Series.
I don't know. Ask the Dodgers. Ask the Dodgers. Ask Kershaw. Ask those guys. Ask that fan base. Ask that organization. How they feel today. Oh, he got all that one.
Crushed to left field.
Got all that one.
Oh, man. Look at the postseason splits for some of the guys on the Houston Astros. You want me to give you some stats on this? Do you want me to blow your mind?
I said the whole lineup. When you look at the whole lineup, this isn't just like Manny and Ortiz.
Jose Altuve in the playoffs, right? At home, you know what he batted, Hardy? Take a guess. What's that great batting average, right? And you get short sample, so you can have a really high average.
Where you get you get the boom boom drum down the dugout there.
Postseason, so three series that they played in.
You really want me to guess?
Take a guess for what Jose Altuve batted at home.
I'll say 350.
Well, didn't they have monitoring in the postseason?
They did.
Yeah.
The Astros did. They used it right through the end.
No, I'm saying I thought baseball was more closely watching them.
No, I'll say 350.
Astros story.
Well, a good batting average for small sample, I'd say would be the 308.
How about 472?
Oh, that's like a high school. That's like a high school stat sheet. Like local American Legion Player of the Week.
472.
High five on
a
five.
Well, here's the best part, though. Altuve batted 472 at home. 472. With a slugging over 1,028. OPS over 1,500.
Oh, my God.
He had 17 hits, 6 home runs, right? On the road? In that postseason?
A tick under that?
$143.
Tick tock?
One home run. So he had 7 home runs that postseason. 6 of them just happened to be at home.
Oh, that's special.
Batting average for Carlos Correa. Home in that postseason, .371. Away, .211. Alex Bregman, home, .273. Road, .154. You're talking at a minimum, these guys, at a minimum, were at least 100 points lower. The difference on Jose Altuve is 472 to 143. You're talking over 300-point difference there in batting average. And again, he had 7 home runs, 6 of them at home. How about, oh man, there's some bad ones in here. This is great. I'm really liking this. Just to see how much better they were at home. Brian McCann was on that 2017 team, right? That's what I have here. Let's see.
Oh, McCann can.
He was.
Carlos Beltran.
Yeah. 300 at home, batting average. 037 on the road.
Big difference there. Oh, yeah, better pitching on the road.
Must have been.
Cameron Maben.
Yeah. Evan Gattis, 300 at home, 200 on the road.
Charlie Morton.
Just look at those home road splits. They're bad. They are very bad for those Astros. When they were at home, they were crushing it because they were cheating. That's what they were doing.
Dallas Keuchel.
John's on the Cape. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to speak to Beadle if I could.
You got it.
And okay, so you guys have a great show as usual. I was thinking about something for your gift bag that we were talking about a while back.
I like this.
And it wouldn't break the bank, of course. This would be inexpensive, but a bumper sticker, a Red Sox bumper sticker that read, "If you ain't cheating, you ain't playing."
No, it's if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
You ain't trying.
Yeah. I did that
right,
in Maryland. When in doubt, look
all
about.
Right. Well, okay. So reword it. But anyway, I thought that would be a good recent one. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I have a 2-minute story about Bocce
you
Imani.
Are the bumper
Bocce and I were actually out of
but
time.
You are the bumper sticker guy. Like you're pretty good at those bumper stickers.
Well, he opened with a joke.
He had a 2-minute story.
Now we're going to need a couple of minutes for a story.
He should tighten that up. He really should. Tighten your take up.
Tighten up the Bart Giamatti story. You want to call Tony Maserati at 6 p.m. starting right around April 1st.
That's right.
That is the place you want to do that.
You have all the time in the world, peoples. Now gather around the dance floor. Got a little advice for you. If you're going to call Zolak and Bertrand.
Tighten up.
Approaching the bottom of the hour. Hardy got the headlines. So during your phone
call,
you got to tighten up. Start with a joke. No 2-minute story. Make them laugh. And then get on with your day.
Turn up.
Get in the pocket and tighten up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Uh-oh.
My guess is...
I used to listen to this to go in Newport. Over and over, like 20 times. Beat down, brother's fucking up. Yeah, what's your guess?
My guess is that when we get to Felger Maz at 2 o'clock here on the Sports Hub, that everyone involved on that program is going to be in favor of firing Alex Cora. That's my guess.
Is today a Big Boy Tuesday?
Or it is. Is he in at 2 o'clock?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
Ooh.
But he also writes for his own journal, and Greg's good on everything. So
I've been convinced throughout the course of today that Alex Cora does need to be fired. There's so many more reasons why he should be fired.
Yeah, I mean,
than why
I agree
he should be kept.
I agree with you on that, but also like people that stick by their people.
Oh, I like that too, and I like Alex Cora a lot, which is why this sucks. Like,
you're torn.
Does it make you angry though a little bit? Again, when I go back to the filming that was happening in Cleveland. Like, that just pissed me off. Doing this to us.
Why'd you
to do this?
And what do you mean stick by your people? If he screwed up once in the middle of a game and got caught looking at a monitor and doing that, if it's a systematic, prolonged, concentrated effort to steal signs once the team, as he's well aware, has already been warned, and he did it anyway, like, look, Alex, nothing personal. I still like you.
Cheated.
But, you know, you're fired.
But if his actions have led to a $5 million fine and wiping out the draft board, how can you still have that guy here? Yeah. Like, oh, no big deal.
Not even that. But
you know,
we are certain that you are going to be suspended for a year, if not more.
Not two.
So it's not so much us even saying you're not the manager here. Major League Baseball has as much. Hey, if I'd found out about this, I wouldn't have fired you. Okay, Fred, take that for what it's worth. But Major League Baseball found out, and they're super pissed.
Yeah.
And it's going to mean you have to be away from the team for a year. Look what happened in Houston, you know? Writing's on the wall, kid. I'm sorry, but you're gone. Goodbye.
There is
That's
an
a team that wins and wins and has a good team. Go ahead.
I was just going to say there is an element that I'm interested in, and I don't know. Maybe Maz will have more on this coming up, or the baseball guys can report on this if they so desire. But what's the relationship between Rob Manfred and his office and the Red Sox?
Good question.
I mean, I don't think it's bad per se, but
It's good.
Is it great? Because you go back to that job. I do not believe the Red Sox ownership supported Rob Manfred getting that gig. And if you remember, do you remember when they started pushing Tom Werner?
Oh, yeah.
For that post?
I remember that.
Because the Red Sox had fought back against Rob Manfred, you know, whether it be, I don't think it was very public, but it seemed like privately they were pushing back against Rob Manfred being the next commissioner.
See, but there are certain commissioners that know there's certain organizations and markets that are good for you to have in the mix, like New York, Boston, you know, the L.A. market, St. Louis, Texas. Like, you want those teams to always do well. You know, I mean, if you're the NFL, you want the Patriots in it. You want the Chiefs in it. You want the Giants in the mix. I know they're down, but the Cowboys, you know, teams that you peep to, Green Bay, teams you like to watch. You want to keep interest in your sport across this country. And I think that's one of the tough things locally here is you didn't like Bobby Valentine. I think for the most part, people didn't like Bobby Valentine, right? You didn't like John Farrell. So that's part of the baseball team you didn't like here. Like, you liked the players, but you didn't like the way that was ran, or just the coach speak or manager speak you always got from them. Cora was a fresh face that sort of sucked you back in and said, oh, man, this is a nice change. Former player, team player, players like him. You know, he seems like he's a good coach, got a good handle on things. And then now you find all this stuff out. But like to Hardy's point, if you're really affecting the outcomes of games, you know, now you're heading towards like Pete Rose stuff. Like gambling, but cheating. Are you throwing games? Are you fixing games? Are you helping to better your hitters? You know, Jackie Bradley Jr. is a freaking MVP. You know, how much did that help him?
This is the story from the New York Times, August of 2014. That Tom Werner is trying to block Rob Manfred's bid to replace Bud Selig. It's 5.5 years ago. You had one of the owners of this team trying to prevent Rob Manfred from becoming commissioner of baseball. And he, Tom Werner himself, ended up becoming one of the finalists to replace Bud Selig as commissioner. That was what happened in 2014. That was not that long ago. And so I'm just curious, did they patch all of that up, right?
I'm sure it's water under the bridge, Beetle.
It says, John Heyman wrote at the time that Werner's presence among the three finalists comes as a surprise, given his relatively low profile in his time with the Red Sox. According to John Heyman, Werner was said to have made a surprisingly strong presentation before the committee, moving him from extreme long shot to become a main competitor to Manfred. According to the New York Times, Werner was one of three owners to get an interview with the succession committee. And two others were in there as well. But Werner was really selling himself on sort of the digital media and the next, you know, great wave of technology, funny enough, in terms of media stuff being used to promote the game. That was a big thing because of his television background. So I just know that they were sort of trying to block Manfred, and I'm guessing probably were saying some things about him behind the scenes to other owners that were not so positive about Rob Manfred. Now they've got to deal with Rob Manfred directly on this matter.
Well, remember what you said about me 5 years ago?
Yeah. Well, just in the sense that there will be no breaks for you. We're not doing
benefit of the doubt.
There's no political favoritism that will go on here as a result of that. I'm not saying that he will necessarily come down harder on them, but this just is related to, I go back to when the Patriots were punished in 2007. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of accusations of, oh, you know, they destroyed the tapes because of the cozy relationship with the Patriots. That would be Roger Goodell. And how the direct opposite was true. Robert Kraft helped Roger Goodell become NFL commissioner. And it may have helped them in the punishment was harsh. Okay. You cannot say it wasn't harsh. Maybe it would have been harsher if those tapes came to light. So maybe that was sort of a, hey, we're going to destroy the tapes here.
Yeah.
No one's going to see these. We're going to punish you. We're going to move on. Maybe that was a favor. In this case, you've got a team that actively campaigned against the guy becoming commissioner. The complete opposite is true, which I find that to be an interesting dynamic related to how things are going right now. And is John Henry going to want to be told by baseball, hey, you should probably fire your manager? Why don't you do the right thing here? Is someone from Manfred's office going to suggest to the Red Sox that they move on from their guy? Hey, why don't you move on from him, or else we'll be sending him away for quite some time. We don't want this guy to be a manager in our sport anymore. This is not just a bad look for maybe the Red Sox. It could potentially be a bad look for baseball. Does baseball look better or worse next season with A.J. Hinch not on a bench as manager of a team? For the integrity of the sport. Baseball could say, no, our sport has rid itself of the guys who were in charge while that stuff was going on. Whereas with Alex Cora, if he's still back at some point or still employed and has a temporary interim fill-in, and this story hangs over the Red Sox.
Yeah, you can't have an interim
fill-in. It hangs out there for more than a year. I think it's going to be really bad.
That's why it leans more towards Cora has to go, because you just can't have this interim guy and then just answer the endless questions of waiting, 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 then Cora's back, and then we're doing this all over again in 2 years. If it's 2 year ban.
I do want to talk to Dan and Sandwich. He's been hanging on. Dan, go ahead.
Dan?
I was calling.
Hey.
Go ahead, Dan.
Hey. First time caller.
Hey, Dan.
I was talking about the sign stealing. Why not put a mic on the catcher? A mic on the pitcher and a headset on the catcher so the pitcher calls the game.
Yeah, you know, there's been a couple of things I've read here in the last 24 hours about some of the proposals to eliminate signs, period, which includes something as drastic as that, miking players up. Also, there's this thought about putting lights in the ground, in the mound, which I thought was pretty fascinating, that the catcher would have a way to trigger lights. Like you look down.
There's four lights.
Yeah, you can see onto the ground just
or four
small
colors.
Little LED lights that somehow have a way of being activated by the catcher.
Yeah, but Cora could find another camera and film those lights, and then that doesn't take them and break.
Is it still like some kind of a visual cue?
Yes. Yeah, but it's only visible to someone who's standing on the mound looking straight into the ground.
If you get it
until they figure out a way to
put a drone above
it. Yeah, we'll get the drone to film it. Yeah,
why not like the head coach to quarterback stuff? Like that's what he said.
Because they don't wear helmets, I'm guessing. And so
the catcher's got a helmet on, and the pitcher can put the mic in his glove and put his glove over his mouth and call the pitch.
This is all about the signal between the catcher and the pitcher.
How does the pitcher hear
it? The pitcher calls the pitch.
Yeah,
put the microphone.
That changes 150 years of baseball.
Microphone on the glove because you can put it over his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, but just put anybody back there to catch now.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, because
why?
You put a center fielder back there to catch.
Brad is in Northboro. Brad.
Yeah, hey guys. You kind of just teed up what you were saying, how Manfred has an extra grind against the Red Sox. And I wouldn't be surprised if he holds out and just decides to lay down the hammer a week before pitchers and catchers report, just to really screw the Red Sox over. And also, I mean, that's part of I lost my train of thought. That's all I got.
Would it be,
I do it every day,
as a means to somehow rectify this bad feeling that he's got toward the Red Sox? Because to me, it sounds like the hammer's coming down because the hammer's coming down.
I'll be honest
with you, Brad. It's got nothing to do with his vendetta against the Red Sox.
Brad, I think he's doing them a favor if he gets it out of the way before spring training. What will be worse is taking their sweet time and then destroying them a week before opening day.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's where I was kind of going at. And it was the Bounty Gate thing with Sean Payton. If they really like Cora so much and they just say 1 year right before pitchers and catcher report, maybe they hold on and this is a year or two, dump salary, bring up some kids, and just clean house a little bit and get ready for 2021. That was.
Yep. And I think that would be probably a positive way of just getting ahead of it, keeping the eye on the future and saying we got to turn the page here. We're not going to let this story hang over us.
But you can't do that. You can't say we're going to bring him back next year. What if they go out and win the pennant?
I thought he was suggesting that you just look forward to 2020 and 21 and beyond.
I thought he said something to the effect that we're going to suspend. Look, it's probably going to be a year, and then Alex Cora is going to, because we really, really like him.
Mm-hmm.
What if the team goes out and wins the pennant?
Yeah, that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve's in the car.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. Has it been reported on who the rat is or who the mole is?
Well, there's three of them. There's three of them. It's not one. It's three different people.
Is Dana Lavangi one of them?
That's a good question. Is Dana Lavangi one of the rats? He's a pitching guy. He cares about pitchers, and we have been saying it's definitely not a guy in the lineup. It's not a positional player that would want to rat anybody out.
Nope.
It's the pitchers who get pissed about this, or maybe someone who's worked with the pitchers, like a former pitching coach. Could be.
Who was it?
Don't know.
Which member of the Red Sox tweeted to us and said it wasn't him?
Ron Reneke.
No.
I think it was Ron Reneke. Someone did, one of the pitchers, but...
One of the bullpen guys.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, well, it wasn't me. You could take me off the list.
Oh, Carson Smith.
Carson Smith, yes.
Carson Smith, he was barely here. Dave Dombrowski's name has been thrown around. Could it be Dave Dombrowski? People that have an axe to grind and are upset with their departure here, Dombrowski would certainly fit that bill. Why don't we get to today's takeaways? We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
An app. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's sweet.
All right, it's time for today's takeaways brought to you by Waken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your January consultation today. Give them a call or go online to waken180weightloss.com and make 2020 the last time that losing weight will be your New Year's resolution. We have today.
We'll start with this, crawfish. Crawfish eating.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You like crawfish?
Love crawfish.
It's just sort of a messy
it's
eat,
a work,
isn't it?
But
it's a lot of work.
You know what the best part of it is? Sucking the head.
And that's that.
Is that
about crawfish
the worst
today.
Part or the best part?
The best part.
That's the best part.
You rip the body off. And you get the juices because it's not a lot of eating. The part of it is the work, and you get a little tail in there. It's like mini lobsters.
Yeah,
but it's the all the Tony Chachere's or you know the craw boils.
Sorry.
That yeah.
The what?
Tony Chachere's. It's a spice from Louisiana.
Oh, well, I don't
Tony
know.
Tony Chachere.
That. Yeah, that's interesting.
It's almost like an Old Bay.
Okay.
Tony Chachere. C-E-R-E.
Yeah, don't spell it. That's, come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll take your word for it.
Right.
Also, Shaughnessy on Mr. Cool J.
This is J.J. Cool. How old is J.J. Cool today?
Who's J.J. Cool?
You don't know? No, he's a rapper slash actor.
I think you mean LL Cool J.
LL Cool J?
Sorry.
Are you freaking kidding? You're talking about LL Cool J.
Ladies love Cool J.
J.J. Cool.
LL Cool J.
Yeah, Hardy's going to have to be resuscitated now. I am having a bad day between Marion... Yeah, Wally and Tessie, and now you're right.
He did. He wrote in his column on the Boston Globe that Tessie and Wally were girlfriend, boyfriend.
That's what it looks like. Like they come out holding hands, walking around. Like boys, sisters and brothers really don't do that. They go to appearances holding hands. Like,
well,
that they were brother and sister, but now they're considering themselves
taller,
more of a boyfriend,
see
girlfriend.
Her beating the hell thing. Out of him. And just...
If Wally and Tessie were like Precious Moments characters, you could see that. You know, barefoot holding the hands, but, you know, these are grown mascots.
Who are the two toys? Kid brother and kid sister, right?
Kid sister. Wherever I go, she.
That was the follow up to my
was
buddy.
Was it my buddy?
It was my buddy. And kid
my
sister.
Buddy.
But then there was a kid's
my
sister.
Buddy.
Yeah.
That's right.
My buddy and me like to climb up a tree. My buddy and me.
Throw the doll up in a
tree and run up here.
I had a my buddy.
Cool JJ.
You did?
Yeah, I was in that age group. Yeah, in the 80s.
Wow. How old were you?
My buddy.
Was probably 14.
Like, yeah. I was like 13.
12.
No. I was like 4. Yeah.
What'd you do with it?
That, just looked at it.
Yeah, they didn't do much. There was that, and then there
playing
was
with me.
Also at the time, Teddy Ruxpin was also very popular.
Oh, Teddy Ruxpin, I remember
yeah,
that.
Ruxpin, no. Teddy Ruxpin. Yeah, that was those were all right around the same time.
Were you a Tickle Me Elmo guy?
Too? No, that's way out. That's after.
All right.
Yeah.
I never know.
I don't have any of that crap.
The '80s were weird, man.
Teddy Ruxpin was the bear that talked to you.
Pull down the flap on Teddy's ass and put the cassette tape in.
Whoa.
Put it in.
Put it in the slot.
And, he started talking.
Put the cassette in the slot.
Once he'd get going, you couldn't get him to stop.
Sure.
Teddy had a lot to say.
Which brings us to our last moment, Tutti Frutti, a conversation about that song today.
That was an off-the-air conversation.
Oh, I thought you were
I looked
play
it
that.
Up. You don't even have to dig deep on that. Just
what did I say? I said, What's that song about?
Look at the Wikipedia entry on the Little Richard song Wikipedia. Tutti Frutti. Look it up.
Okay. I taught you something you didn't know today.
Filthy.
I taught you something you didn't know today, didn't I, Artie?
Yes, you did.
On music, too. I count that as a win. Felger Maz coming your way next with Greg Bedard. Maz has props, so stick around for that. Talk to you tomorrow. 10. Bye.
Anderson.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maz arrived on a Tuesday. That's still football season, Maz. You know what that means. Big boy. Big boy Tuesday. Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. He's brought to you by Jarvis Ford. As John and Michael Jarvis like to say, honesty, integrity, and family. It's not just how we do business. It's who we are. Jarvis Ford, just off Route 2 in Ayer. So we know we're in the middle of the Alex Cora MLB situation, and so we'll monitor that. And if there's anything breaking today, you'll hear it when it happens, and we'll react to it as it happens. But in the meantime, we'll plow ahead with some football with Greg Bedard in the first couple hours and get to our developing opinions on Cora and that situation at 4. So that would be the game plan. And, Greg, I want to start with something you wrote last Friday. I'm upset that I missed it at the time. I'm usually late.
Come on.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.